My text for this morning is the closing words of verse 36. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ to a man that was in a great agony of soul and had a troubled heart concerning his young girl, his daughter. And the words of Christ to him are these: be not afraid, only believe. Be not afraid, only believe. And it may be that there is someone here this morning in somewhat similar circumstances to Jairus. You've trouble in your family. You've trouble at home. Your heart is much pained over those that you love. The word of Christ to Jairus is the word of Christ to you today. Be not afraid, only believe. Keep looking to Christ. Keep trusting in him, whatever happens. Now let me set up the circumstances here with regard to what we read of about Jairus. In the chapters 4 and 5 of Mark's Gospel, the Lordship of Jesus Christ is brought before us in very bold and stark relief. It is our contention, of course, that the whole Bible sets forth Christ. The Gospels in particular set forth his conception, his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection and ascension. And the balance of the Bible, the New Testament epistles, they give us all the great gospel truths that hang on what is recorded for us in the Gospels. The whole Bible, the Old Testament, and the New Testament, they all focus in on him of whom we read in the Gospels of Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. The Bible's all about Christ. Make no mistake about it. And within the Gospels, we see some tremendous displays of the deity as well as the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a great truth that the Lord Jesus Christ is not only God, but he is man. He is the God-man forevermore. That's an amazing thing to think about that. But in Mark's Gospel, chapters 4 and 5, we see this lordship, this deity of Christ, and also his humanity exhibited for us. In chapter 4, we read that Jesus Christ is Lord over the depths. And by that I'm referring to the sea. Christ had a long, wearisome, hot day teaching by the seaside. And when it was coming near the even, he asked the disciples to pass over onto the other side. They took the Lord Jesus, the Bible tells us, as he was. He was tired. He was warm. He had labored that whole day in teaching the multitudes as he sat in the boat and they stood on the seashore. And as that boat pushed out into the sea, the Lord lay in the hinder part of that ship. And I've no doubt the disciples initially at least enjoyed a refreshing breeze as they went out into that sea. But the Lord soon fell asleep. He lay sleeping on a pillow in the hinder part of that ship. And very quickly, almost suddenly, the waves on the Sea of Galilee, and you'll see the map, the waves on the Sea of Galilee began to get rougher and rougher, and the wind blew. And it's characteristic of that part of the land that storms come very quickly. And before they really knew it, they were in the midst of a great storm on the Sea of Galilee. The water was rushing into the boat. The disciples became more than concerned. They were afraid. And in the midst of the storm, they go to Christ in the hinder part of the ship, and maybe some one of them shakes him, "Master, Master, carest thou not that we perish?" What an amazing scene as the Lord Jesus stands up in the midst of that storm, commands the waves to fall, commands the wind to cease, and very soon there was a great calm. He's Lord over the elements. He's Lord over the depths. And they obey his command. When you go to the chapter 5, and if you could see from your map down on the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee, at that stage they were round about Capernaum. And they went over to a place called Gadara. It's on the right-hand side of the Sea of Galilee, the eastern shore. And there we can see that the same Lord Jesus Christ, who was Lord over the depths, is Lord over the demons. For very soon, when they had set foot on the shores of Gadara, there met him a wild man, the demonic of Gadara, a man who terrorized the community, a man who ran about squealing and screaming and instilling fear and dread into the hearts of the locals. He ran naked about the place, terrorizing the area. He lived in a graveyard. And such was the trouble that he was causing. Men gathered together betimes to try and sort him out, to try and tame him. And they would have chained him. And such was the power of sin and Satan in this man's life that he just broke the chains. But when Christ comes on the scene, there's a difference. And the very demons that were possessing the man recognized the Son of God. "We know thee, who thou art," they say. And the Lord commands the demons to come out of the man. He gives them leave to go. And you might be familiar with the story how the demons went in to that flock of swine and they ran violently down the hill into the sea. This Lord Jesus, who was Lord over the deep and commands the wind and the waves, is Lord even over the very demons. They must, they have to, they cannot but obey his command. He's Lord over the deep. He is Lord over the demons. And he's Lord over diseases. Did we not read in our Bible passage this morning of a dear lady who was racked with pain and had this issue of blood 12 long years? She spent all that she had. The Bible tells us she spent all her living and was nothing bettered. When the Lord Jesus came back across the sea, it's an amazing thing, you know. The people in Gadara didn't want him. They didn't want him. Go away. And that's why he left the man behind. The man who was released, from whom the demons were released, he said, "I want to go with you." But the Lord says, "No, you go home to Decapolis and tell them what great things the Lord hath done for thee. You're my ambassador in Decapolis. They can't deny my lordship when they see you there. Tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee." When the Lord went from that crowd that didn't want him in Gadara and came back up into the shore near Capernaum, there were multitudes there. They were waiting for him to return. They were filled with expectancy. And when he came to the other side, a great crowd thronged him. And it was in that crowd that Jairus came and besought the Lord. And the Lord responded to the pleading of Jairus. And as they were heading to the home of Jairus, there came behind the Lord in that great throng this lady who had an issue of blood for 12 years. She had heard about the Lord. "And if I could but touch his clothes, the hem of his garment, I'll be healed." Nothing magical in the garment. The virtue was in the Lord Jesus Christ. And she knew that. And she touched the hem of his garment. Think of what Jairus was thinking. He came in an agony of soul, and the Lord responded to his pleading, and the Lord was heading toward his home, but something happened to stop the crowd. Something happened. The Lord Jesus turned right round. And I can imagine how Jairus felt. He may have been impatient. There may have been some measure of impatience coupled with expectancy as he saw that woman marvelously, wonderfully healed. And so, the deed is done. The woman's made new. The Lord Jesus Christ said to her, "Go in peace, thy faith hath made thee whole." And as the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking, look at verse 35. "While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, 'Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?' As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue," and here's the word, here's the text, "Be not afraid. Be not afraid. Only believe." Keep trusting in me. Keep believing in me. And so that's the background. Do you know, we often think of outer space. You look up into the night sky, you see the moon and the stars. Look at our solar system. Everything's controlled and held in place by this Lord Jesus of whom we are speaking, of whom we are reading this morning. The Bible says of him, he upholds all things by the word of his power. Now that's outer space. But folks, think of inner space. You think of the human body and all that goes on inside our bodies to keep it living, to keep it moving, to keep it existing. How many miles your blood travels through your system alone is amazing. And the Lord's in control of all that. He was able to heal this woman that could not be healed anywhere else. He's Lord over disease. But in the matter relating to Jairus, we see that he is Lord over death. There is nothing, but nothing, but nothing, but absolutely nothing that the Lord Jesus Christ is not in control of. Let's look at that briefly, and very briefly, and I mean that with regard to Jairus. We've talked about his pleading because we're told that he besought the Lord greatly. Verses 21 to 23. "In that great crowd that thronged Christ, this man comes and beseeches the Lord greatly. Come and touch his little daughter." But you'll notice not only his pleading, there's a great procession. Because in verse 24, it says that Jesus went with him. So that crowd followed the Lord, and they were making their way to the home of Jairus. And what sense of relief there must have been in the heart of this man as he prevails upon the Lord Jesus to come to his home, to come and touch his young girl. Is it that what we want? The Lord to do for us? To come to our homes and to touch our loved ones. Well, this man prevails. And the Lord, it says, went with him. You will notice that there was something else that happened. This woman comes in the meantime, and you'll see the position of Christ changes. He's moving toward the home of Jairus. He's moving toward Capernaum where he lives. And how Jairus' heart must have felt mightily relieved, but something happens to change that, at least temporarily. The Lord stops, the crowd stops, the Lord turns, the people turn. And the woman that had the issue of blood takes up his time. I don't know what was in the heart and mind of Jairus. There was expectancy, for the Lord was heading his way. Maybe there was impatience, for he had stopped. He wasn't now facing the way of his house. He was the very opposite, for it says he turned himself about. How this man must have had a whole admixture of feelings within his heart. But then after the position, there's a problem, because the Lord Jesus is speaking to this dear lady. Your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. And while he's speaking to her and dealing with her, there came people from the house of Jairus. And they say, why troublest thou the master any further? Thy daughter is dead. Now you think of Jairus. Think of all the feelings that must have been within his heart, prevailing with the Lord heading in the direction of his home. Then this interruption where the Lord turns round and the crowd turns round, and this woman takes up the Lord's attention and she's wonderfully healed. And then this news that they bear. Why troublest thou the master any further? Your daughter's dead. Now you just think the pain that must have been, at least temporarily, in the heart of Jairus when he heard those words. It's no use. Your daughter's dead. It's too late. But then, look at the pity of Christ. Look at his humanity. And you know what it says? As soon as Jesus heard, look at verse 36. As soon as Jesus heard those words, the man was about to plunge into the depths of despair, perhaps at the news that he was told. But as soon, the very moment he heard what they said, the Lord Jesus intervened. And isn't that so like the Lord? Just the time I need him, he's always near. He's always there. And he comes to this man with words of comfort in the face of everything that he has experienced and the news that he was told, the Lord says, be not afraid. Only believe. Keep trusting. Keep looking to me. O pilgrim bound for the glory land, never, never lose sight of Jesus. How merciful, how full of pity our Lord Jesus is. And he would draw near to you today. Draw near to me today and say those same words. Whatever it is that's bothering you, whatever it is that's troubling you, be not afraid. Only believe. Keep your gaze fixed on me. Notice in closing the great picture that there is. But I tell you, folks, there's a picture here right at the end of this chapter of heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ goes to the house. There were those who were weeping and wailing. Look at verse 39. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, unbelief will exclude us from seeing the mighty hand of the Lord at work. He puts them out. When he put them all out, he took with him Jairus and the mother of the damsel and Peter and James and John. And he enters the chamber where the young girl is lying and he takes her by the hand. And he says to her, maid, I say unto thee, arise. I tell you, folks, there's a lovely, lovely, lovely picture of heaven before us here. When the young girl that lay on the bed opened her eyes, who was the first person she saw? It was the Lord Jesus holding her hand. Who else did she see? She saw her father and her mother. And who else did she see? She saw Peter and James and John. I tell you, folks, this is a picture of glory. When we go to glory, we shall see him face to face. And God grant that we'll see our loved ones there as well. And we'll certainly see the saints. The Lord Jesus in another place says they'll come from the east, they'll come from the west, and they'll sit down with Abraham in the kingdom of heaven. What a day that will be. When by Jesus I shall see. He's with us in time all the way, and we'll be with him in eternity forevermore. Do you love him? Keep serving him. Keep trusting in him. He will never, ever let us down. Did ever friend find this? Did ever Satan find his friend forsaken? No. Not one. Be not afraid. Only believe. Let's sing our closing hymn this morning. A lovely hymn, and it covers many aspects of our experience. We'll stand as we worship. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song?